Right now it is time for Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and politics, bringing over 40 years of experience to those subjects and others. And he joins us on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning, Marshall. How are you doing?
Not too bad. You know, my father was an entertainer, very, very successful entertainer, but had a couple really rough years at the end of his life. And I've forgiven it for him because he lived to be 55. And out of those 55 years, 53 of them were just fantastic, great years, and two of them not so good. My grandmother always used to say it towards the end on New Year's Eve. It can't get any worse. And my mother would always say, don't say that, Millie, don't say that. Years ago, John Oliver, when Donald Trump was first elected, beginning his show, he'd always say, it can't get any worse. Well, he stopped that about 16 weeks into that season. The news, and I'm not only going to blame Donald Trump on this, I'll blame the media and everybody else, but the news that we see on a daily basis and on a weekly basis, when I check in with people like you, Don Morrison, and all the other commentaries that we have here, Brian Ross, you always say, and David Tarachuk, I always say, but we'll see, it can't get much worse. But now I say, let's see what happens in the next week. And damn, this year is just an absolutely mind-boggling year. It will go down in history as one of the most dynamic years, I think, in the history of our country and the world. It's just, you just can't make this stuff up.
Amen. Amen. We don't need science fiction or horror movies anymore. We've got it right where we are. Anyhow, Grandma, in her own way, is right, because I can't really give you the quote because I don't have it before me, but I read it recently from Mahatma Gandhi, and basically he went through all of the terrible things that the world had experienced, and he certainly experienced some difficult times. But he did say at the end, and this will pass, this will end, this will come to a different, probably more positive conclusion, if not for a short time, but this will end. So, and I'm certain in looking at the scholarly types, the philosopher types, they really are right in the longer term, that things like this will end and kind of mend and kind of get back together. You got to try to keep that in mind, and you can't be Pollyanna that tomorrow everything's going to be fine. But there will be an end to this. There will be a beginning, hopefully a new beginning, that will benefit from the learnings that we've achieved, hopefully, from what's been going on the last 4 years, maybe the last 20 years, which has been a movement away from common decency, respect for one another, appreciation of humanity, and too much of a sense of the almighty dollar is king, and I have to outdo my neighbor, et cetera, et cetera. You know the story. We have allowed, because of some of our lesser interest in the best for all, to allow people like Trump to captivate us, to con us. And admittedly, there are countless people who are still conned and will be conned and will vote, and probably eventually in their lives and feel rather bad about it, if they don't feel badly about it now. It's so sad that the President of the United States has this terrible virus, and all he can talk about is himself and how he's learned and he didn't espouse any voice of empathy to the 210,000 people who have passed because of the virus, and also probably about 1 million people related to those people who are suffering and grieving and are upset. As I've said before on the show, and I'm not the genius on this one, but we have to keep trying to keep those very positive things we have within us, these great minds and a sense of fairness and gratitude for our democracy. We've got to keep coming back to those things, or keeping them front and center rather than back, and rely on them and thrive on them as we work our way back to sanity with hopefully most of the country. There is a great opportunity to begin that process on November 3rd, because it's only going to be a process. Hopefully Biden will be elected, because Biden is the only one in the race who has some common sense and dignity and has actually some plans which he's espoused. So, but that will be the beginning. So I think when you cast your vote, recognize that you are the beginning of something better, something that will learn from the past and capitalize on that to become better people, to become a better nation. I can't give up on the fact that we've been one of the greatest democracies ever existed, and I can't give up on the fact that you have to acknowledge the warts and human frailties of populations. But you also must remember that we came back from the Depression in the 30s. We came back, we won the World War II, even though we were behind the eight ball for a couple of years and had been attacked. We went through bitter wars like Vietnam, and we just come up right side because there's something in the human spirit that demands that we come upside. We get back on the playing field and we start playing again. And that day is going to come. All of this going on now is a test of ourselves in terms of, can we stand it? Can we handle it? Can we get up and pull up our boots and walk straight again? And God knows I have my own share of things coming to me from my kids about my grandchildren and from friends and from the general things going on like everybody else. So I'm not really trying to be Pollyanna, but I am trying to state that if you look at history in this country, we have always come back. And that includes in the late 30s when fascism was on the rise in this country. In fact, there was a big meeting, demonstration of Nazi fanatics at the old Madison Square Garden. And as I said to my son the other day, I said, yes, and then FDR came along and he gave people hope. And those people, those fascists, went back into the shadow. And we resumed our democracy. We won a war. We built a wonderful, wonderful country. We gave more people housing. We gave pensions to people who never had them before. So history is a wonderful, wonderful thing to go to periodically and pay attention to, in the sense that it's very inspirational when you can kind of get above it and look back and say, wow, this really happened. So keep the faith, and we're Americans, and we all happen to be Americans, most of whom are immigrants or came from immigrants. The immigration spirit is what has driven this country, be it people from various countries like China or Ireland or many different places who came here as laborers and worked their way up. And it'll happen again. We have it here. The human spirit cannot be beaten.
You know, it's interesting. I want to... with President Trump, and I had to calm people down on my Facebook page. You just can't go in public and wish somebody death. You can't. I mean, you can think all you want in private, but when someone comes down with a disease, you just don't. You don't get in public and wish them death. It's karma is an amazing thing and can come back to bite you in the rear end. But then the president. Him leaving Walter Reed Hospital, like I said, I really don't really care at this point. He's the president of the United States. He was offered health care like nobody else in the world. So if he doesn't want to stay at Walter Reed and wants to go back to the White House, I have no problem with that. I do have a problem with it making him using it once again as a backdrop, filming it and having it photographed to use in a campaign. And I do have a problem with the minute he stood on that terrace, tearing his mask off and putting it in his pocket. I go back to a comment that was made, which I think applies to our area. And it was made by Deepak Chopra. Okay, now either you like Deepak or you don't. I have no, but I love this quote that he came up with. All great changes are preceded by chaos. And if you look back through history, it is what it is. I mean, you can't have great change unless you have chaos. And we're going through that right now with the president. The president has once again turned his COVID-19 infection not from a science and medical story, but to a political story. And it's sad to see, because what I think he misses is that the 210,000 people that have died in this country due to implications from COVID and other things, but also the implication COVID-19 being the straw that broke the camel's back. As you said, those 200,000 people, plus probably another million and a half people that were related to those people that passed away, don't hold it against the president that he can get the best health care. They don't. That's, you know, that comes with the job. He's the president of the United States. But they will hold against him just totally throwing by the wayside the struggles that those 200,000 people who died had that aren't available to healthcare. And that goes back even to somebody he was going to appoint to his cabinet, Herman Cain, who passed away of COVID-19. Herman Cain was diagnosed on July the 2nd. On July 10th, the doctors said he was improving. On July 15th, he said his doctors seemed happy with him and he's getting better. And Herman Cain passed away on July 30th. And this is what you have to look at COVID-19 in the broad scale of things and how it's impacted this country, this world, and every individual. But there's certain things the president shouldn't do, and he shouldn't make fun of science. He shouldn't contradict science. He shouldn't, tell people basically that it's okay to be without a mask if you're around people. Those are things that he seems to go over the line on. And I hope for his sake that indeed at his age, at 74, he is strong enough, and he does have the proper medical care not to pass away from this disease. But when you look at the fact that the White House basically right now is a shutdown zone because of so many COVID infections in the West Wing, you have to look at what's going on as being, this is just part of the chaos, which is going to become worse. People have to understand this. By the time we get to the election and a week after the election, when we're still possibly waiting for final votes to come in and tell us who's going to be the president, you ain't seen nothing yet, folks. Everybody has got to take it back two steps and say, you know what? We are through a time of upheaval, not only in this world, but in this country. And we all have to do our best to try to get to the outcome we need individually to get to. And right now, we are We are one separated, entangled, and sorry excuse for a country. There seems to be no nationalism left at all.
Well, our metal, METTLE, is being tested. We've been, since, I guess, the Second World War, the country, the number one country, in just about everything, certainly in science and in medicine. And we have lost our way in a lot of different things. Many of them we are all cognizant of. The deal is that we now have an opportunity to regain what we had and prosper in terms of the regaining. When you do things like regaining something and you go to the truth and you go to the hard work and the fortitude that it takes to get there, you become bigger as a person, bigger as a country. And, you know, God gave us an incredible blessing in this country. And we've been doing a good job with it for a while, but we've really fallen back from responsibility that comes with being given all the gifts, material and health-wise and otherwise, that we've enjoyed over the years. So now we got to rise up and regain. And it's not just regaining. It's not really just going back. It's going forward. It's taking this fight that we're going through and the information that we glean to become bigger and better as a people. And in that process, help the world become bigger and better. Because that's what one of the main things we've deviated from in the last 10, 15 years. But we have made ourselves, USA, totally important. Well, we're not totally important. The world is totally important. Our place in it is totally important. Our leadership is totally important. But it's the world. And if we can continue to make the world better, that's better for everybody and particularly for us. In terms of chaos creating opportunity to expand, which you've mentioned, I was thinking as you were saying it, I guess that's what the Revolutionary War was about. I guess that's what the Civil War was about. World War One, I don't know on that scale that's there. But World War II certainly is. And we really need introspection, but we really need to maintain our vitality by communicating in positive fashion with our neighbors and our friends. And if we have people in the media, and certainly we can write good letters to the senators and House of Representatives. By good letters, I mean productive letters, not just complaining. I mean, state what we need to do better. But being bombastic is not going to help our learning curve. Calling out the president in a negative way is not going to help the learning progress. When we do that with Trump, we really go backwards in the sense that, one, it's a negativity you put out there, but two, it doesn't solve anything. The way you can solve things is by voting, by participating in your community, by beginning, as many people have done now over the years actually, but certainly in the last year, stepping out for your neighbors, be you in Houston or Atlanta, where they have these food banks that are sponsored not only by the government, but by individual people. When we see a Mike Bloomberg, I don't care how much money he has, he did spend $32 million so that citizens in Florida who had been incarcerated can now vote. So, you know, the human, and then you look at a Buffett and a Bill Gates. They're human like you and I, but they got the message. They've done very well, and they're giving back. Each of us can give back by giving to our neighbor just self-respect. Self-respect. Appreciate what you have. Appreciate your neighbors.
Well, appreciate your neighbors and appreciate the fact that we still have the fighting, the intestinal fortitude to fight for what you believe in. And I say that not only to people politically who oppose Trump or people that support Trump or Republicans or Democrats or independents, but there's got to be a certain fire, and the American spirit is built on a certain fire of, you know, it used to be you could just stand on any corner, put a soapbox down, and talk about your beliefs. People might stop and listen. People might not stop and listen. People might just think you're a nut. But this is one of the things that this country was founded on. Now, when somebody gives their opinion, there has to be 5,000 other people that want to not only counter that opinion, which is fine once, but then the counterings of the opinions get so personal and so nasty that it takes away from the discourse, which is normally and used to be a good discourse between people who were friends and people who knew one another and had different beliefs. With the advent of social media and everybody thinking that they are a magnificent writer, this is where it has taken not only us, but people all over the world. And you know what? I don't know what giant event is going to happen to shake it up, but I got a feeling we're in it.
Yes, I agree with that one. I really do.
I just don't know what the future is going to hold after January 1st, but we will see. But if we do have the intestinal fortitude and the smarts, like I hope we do as individual Americans, we will get through this period of tumult, which basically really, really started back during the Clinton administration. We had this tumult. It's not quite as progressive as it is now, back with Nixon. We had this tumult way, way back when everybody was a communist. But this, because of social media and because it's so social media driven, is something that as a country we've never experienced before. And it's going to be very interesting to see how it turns out.
It is. And your example, which was well said, of getting on a soapbox and being able to express yourself and being able to be confident that people are listening. They're not listening, but basically they're respecting your right as a citizen to exercise what we call freedom of speech. If you reflect on freedom of speech, it is incredible. It is a magnificent gift that we have created or given here in this country, and we have abused it, and we're paying the price for it because in that process, we've turned people against one another, which is totally ridiculous when you think of the pandemic we're dealing with now. Conceivably, if we entered the pandemic with a greater feeling of self-respect for our fellow citizens, that might have gone a long way. But instead, as we entered into it, we had these things, these negative things going on, which kind of are unbelievable in this country, but they exist. And so we have the information. We just have to have the guts to go back and say, hey, you know, I could do this, I could do that, I shouldn't do that, and grow up and grow into a bigger person.
I'm gonna have to enter in here because we're out of time for our free speech for today. We're out of time. Up against the wall with the clock.
Thank you for allowing me to exercise my freedom of speech. I greatly appreciate it. And I appreciate your freedom of speech, too.
All right, Jim.
All right, brother.
Take care.
You get on with it.
All right.
You have a good week.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on Robin Hood Radio.